I'm going to go deep this morning, very, very deep. I'm going to start a new series called Doing the Works of God. I always say that people can only take you where they have been. Who remember, I always teach you this. People can't take you where they haven't been. It doesn't help you to sit under or listen to people who has not been where you were going or where you want to go to. I always say that if you want to do something tremendously for God, find somebody that does what you want to do and learn from them. What you sit under, you become. Be very careful what you sit under and what you allow being spoken over your life. Is somebody listening to me in this place? People think it's nothing. Well, I jump here and I go there and I do this. And you don't understand that you have to stay close to the one who feeds your faith, especially doing the works of God. You have to understand there's only one thing that pleases God, and that's faith. Come on, I want you to, because I believe this, that God is going to stir something in you, this the month of July. And I believe 2019 is a year of faith. Who felt it, by the way? 2019 is a year of faith. We've seen it two weekends ago. I've shared this year with the church. We have reached 52 nations. I thought I'm on 40 nations. And so we checked all the nations that we've stopped over, preached at. And 52 nations that have been touched through this ministry with the gospel of Jesus. I'm talking to you about, I got a testimony from a guy, just by the way. He told me, I sat in my lounge with a gun against my head. And I said to myself, I'm killing myself. I'm done with the world. He says, and he saw a young guy on television pointing to the screen. That young man said to him, you will not take your own life. God's got a plan for you. And he says, you were that young man. He saw me preach on television. And he put down the gun. And this is why we do what we do. I don't do what I do for me. We do it for you. We do it for the people of God. That's what they need. So it's a whole year of faith. Absolutely a year of faith. So God started speaking to me because of what we see in the ministry, the tremendous move of the Spirit, the healings, the miracles, the stuff that happened. I can keep you busy here for days. I'm busy writing a book. Eventually it will be done, I promise you. There's so much stuff that I have to take all my team members, our staff, everybody, put them together and say, okay, who can remember all the miracles that you've seen? Because there's so much. There's literally so much. Sometimes Wayne comes to me and he says, you remember this miracle? And then what? You just brought it back to remembrance. I forgot about it completely. There was miracles there. Let me quickly, I want to give you one testimony. Wayne can help me out. We were in a service where a woman was blind. I hope this is the right pronunciation. She was blind as a bat. All right. Her eyes was white as snow. There was no, you can't even see the pupil, nothing. It's white. So we took and we prayed for her. We stood next to her and we started praying, declaring the word of God over that blind eye. And suddenly her eye turned red. It seemed like blood coming out of her eye. And while now we're praying, and I'm in amazement of what's forming right in front of me, and suddenly you see the color of the pupil coming back. My back. God is my witness. As the pupil's color starts to come back and her eye starts to open up, that's just something that Jesus can do. And this is what I need you to understand. There's no healing power in Vessel du Brain. There's only one healer, and his name is Jesus Christ. I always teach this to people. I say that if you're in my meeting and you leave and you forget about me, that's fine. But never forget about the one who it's everything is all about. And that man is Jesus. And he will never share his glory. Amen. And this is why today we always give him the glory. Is somebody in this house? Come on, is somebody listening to me? Now, who wants to work the works of God? Lift your hand. Who wants to work the work of God? Who's sick and tired of living an ordinary life and you believe that you've been created to do extraordinary things? Come on, you've been created to do exploits for the kingdom of God. Now, I've got great news for you, and I wish I had more time. Maybe we're going to continue preaching until 4 o'clock. We don't know. We'll see what God's going to do. Who remember the other day? The Spirit of God just moved 4 hours. Just, okay. Please, Lord, today again. But the day is here. Where God, and hear me now, and I want to do me a favor, write this down what I'm telling you. It's fact. It's coming. Where God will no longer use a selective person, but that God will start to pour out his Spirit upon everybody. And I tell you now, your children will lay hands on the sick. You will see miracles that will blow your mind. Miracles that the world has not yet seen. If you listen, if you study the past, the revivals, it's nothing in comparison to what's coming to the body of Christ. A tremendous move of the Spirit of God. My God, it's here. I can taste it. You know when you drive to the beach and you smell it before you see it? Who knows what I'm talking about? A Greg Snook. Can you see the dam nie meneer? Right? you smell the water, you smell the atmosphere. This is what I smell. I smell, you can smell it. It's here. It's coming. And this is what's going to happen. I spoke to my friend George this morning. That's George, by the way. And we were speaking about people that were speaking about the revival that's coming from the tipping point of South Africa, or from Africa, and then it will spread across the world. And what God is doing, God is using people from South Africa to ignite the fires of revival around the world. Oh my God, you'll see it. Europe will be filled with the glory of God. America, South America. Come on, every continent of the world will experience a tremendous move of the Spirit. Amen. Now, he's the boss, the Holy Spirit's the boss. So I was just saying what he said. So I'm going to teach you this morning on doing the works of God, because I believe many people don't understand how healing works. First of all, many people, and the exciting part comes now, right? I'm just quickly teaching. I'll get in preaching just now. I'll throw both in, right? I'll just see your faces. If I see you happy, I'll go into preaching, okay? Teaching, everybody's quiet, you know, listening and taking in, but preaching is some. So I'll take you. All right. So when you think about healing, there's different aspects to healing. First of all is praying for the sick and to see them recovered. Second of all, being prayed for to receive your healing. Thirdly, to receive your healing and to remain healed. Because many people get healed and then afterwards they get sick again. And then they think that, well, it doesn't work, you know. It was just a quick fix. Well, first of all, God is not a quick fix. God doesn't do half jobs. God does a perfect job. I want to say this again. God does a perfect job. I want to put two ushers on the spot. Can two ushers quickly get me a cross, one of those big brown crosses that we have? If you can just help me quickly bring it here to the front. I haven't planned this, but the Holy Spirit said I have to. I want to teach you something. So, I want to show you a quick scripture on the screen. Would you just turn with me to the book of Matthew? Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to start to read, and in actual fact, stop. I want to start with John chapter 6. I'll get to Matthew chapter 6 later. Let's go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, 28-29. And I want to quickly, before you read it, I wanted you to pause for a second. Just pause it. This is the main part of the scripture. But the Bible speaks about the bread of heaven. And Jesus said to his disciples, he said, who supplied Israel with the bread of heaven? Do you think that Moses supplied him the bread? No, Moses didn't supply them the bread. God supplied them the bread. Now, please hear me. Please forget the cross. Look at me quickly, and you don't miss what I'm telling you. That if you look at Moses, Moses was a Christ-like figure. God used Moses to get the Israelites, God's people, out of bondage. God used Jesus to do the same. Come on, as Moses was walking in the desert, bread came down from heaven. Jesus is the bread that came down from heaven. Is somebody listening to me? And I promise you, you can be hungry in this place today, but when you eat of the flesh of Christ Jesus and you eat from the bread of life, you'll never hunger again. Listen, nothing satisfies. No money. Come on, not and all the hotels and houses and all the great things of the world cannot compare to what Jesus does to a hungry person. This is why the Bible says those who's hungry and thirsty after righteousness, they shall be filled. Come on, if your first mandate is to seek him and his righteousness, he will fill you. Brother, Popeyes, KFC, McDonald's have nothing on the living bread of Jesus Christ. Come on, he is the bread of life. If we think about Rock of Ages, why is he called the Rock of Ages, by the way? If I think about the Old Testament, how a rock was cleft for water to be gushed out. Jesus Christ is that rock that was cleft. Come on, when he was cleft on the cross, I was healed, I was delivered, I was set free, not for a period, but for always and forever, as long as I have faith in him. If you believe that, shout hallelujah. All right, just keep that scripture on the screen, please. So it goes on, and then Jesus explained this, the following to them. He says, and when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Whoa. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. And then it goes on, it says, then they say to him, you can read it on the screen or in your Bibles, preferably if you have a Bible. Then they say to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God. Jesus' disciples now, they're asking Jesus, tell us the secret. What should we do to the works of God? How must I work to receive the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. So the disciple says, Lord, tell us, what must we do to be able to work the works of God? And what Jesus is saying in my translation, brothers, sit down, let me explain to you. There's nothing, this is what most people think about. Most people say, Lord, do a work, show me what to do your work. What Jesus is saying, sit still and let God work through you. So Jesus said, there's only one thing to do the works of God. One thing. And listen, I want you to hear me right now. This is the only thing. Jesus says, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom God has sent. Now, who's the him whom God has sent? It's not the preacher. It's not the apostle. Come on, it's not the kerkraad. It's Jesus Christ. He is the one. So the scripture says we have to believe in him. If you believe in him, you'll do the works of God. Jesus in his own words says, the works that I do, and even greater than these, will you do, because I go unto my Father. Now, free of charge, Jesus is not the Father, and the Father is not Jesus. Jesus is not a schizophrenic. Jesus doesn't say, I go to the Father, if he is the Father. Jesus doesn't say, I give you a comforter, if he is the comforter. Okay, can I preach in this place? Many people, and I called it the religious crowd, like to call him Christ. They don't like to call him Jesus. Who was it, also still? You know, somebody told me the one day, they said, when you drive out demons, you know, you have to say it right. They said, I said, what do you mean I have to say it right? They said, no, there's a lot of Jesuses. You have to say in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and then it will happen. I said, listen, Satan understands 100%. There's only one. I'll get there. Christ, the word Christ is just a title ascribed to him, a function, but his name is Jesus. When people start to, oh, Christ and God, no relationship. And I'm going to step on toes and people's going to hate me. So what? When they start to going to the Hebrew roots. Jesus, what do they call it? Yeshua HaMashiach. That's how you have to pray. Bultwang! I'm not a Jew. I'm a Gentile. Proud to be a Gentile. I'm stepping on toes. Read your Bible. More Gentiles are going to heaven than Jews. Jews refuse to believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God. All right, that's a subject for another day. You see, if you travel as much as I do, you pick up some things. I'm getting somewhere. Paul says, he says that the curse has been nailed to the cross. And then people stop. It's not where it stopped. It goes on. So that the blessing can come upon the Gentile. Can the Gentile in this house say, hallelujah? Now I want you to look at the cross. One cross. Say with me, there's one cross. But there's two sides. Do you see this? It's a front side, there's a back side. So what people do is, the front side represents always, the front side of the cross speaks of forgiveness. Say forgiveness. The back side of the cross represents and speaks of healing. One cross. Jesus didn't just die for your sickness. He didn't just die for your sin. It was a perfect work on the cross. He became your sickness. I'm going to try to say that again. He became that cancer. He became the TB. He became the HIV. He became the arthritis. He became every familiar familiar spirit attack on bloodlines. He became that. So the front side of the cross. So now I want people to understand this. The same faith I need to give my life to Christ and to accept him into my heart is the same faith I need to be healed. It's the very same faith that I need to lay my hands on the sick and see them recovered. It's just another dimension. Faith is faith. It's just different levels. So many people's got the faith in God that when I come to the cross, he forgives me. Okay? But they forget the backside of the cross brought my healing. So many people's got the revelation that he can forgive. But Lord, when it comes to healing, I don't know. Do you know why, and I'm going to say this as it is, the reason why people do that is because people is looking for substitutes to take the place of Christ. Because of your lack of faith doesn't mean that he's got a lack of ability. The lack in his, there's no lack in his ability, there's lack in your faith. Many people stand here and they say, I believe that God can heal me. I believe that God can heal through me. But I feel condemned every day. I don't think that he can forgive me. The same thing. Then we think that we need a substitute for the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to understand this. The blood of Jesus didn't carry power. It still carries power. Act like hierdie crowd. Hulle is aan die gang hier so. It's power. The blood of Jesus brings life. It brings deliverance. Now, I'm getting somewhere. Somebody excited to be here. This is the biggest problem today in society. People don't understand this. One cross, one work that Jesus did. But many people think that I can only receive glimpses of it. Because the problem today is there's so much information going around in the world. And there's not a lot of revelation. And it's only revelation that brings transformation. Now, I wanna go deeper. Remember what I said to the 8 o'clock service people? I said that there came a point where the disciples said to Jesus, Lord, we tried to cast out these demons, but Lord, they didn't want to obey us. And then Jesus says, this kind only goes out through prayer and fasting. Now, what the church has taken up is, if I struggle to cast out a demon, I leave him. Then I go and rest a little bit. And then I go and fast. And then I call in backup. Reinforcements, and then I make another appointment, and then I come back, then I try again. That's not what the scripture is teaching. What Jesus is teaching in that scripture is a life yielded to prayer, yielded to fasting, will cast those things out. Now, listen, if you don't want to listen to hear this, close your ears. But I'm teaching you something that I live, okay? There's no devil in hell, no devil in people that is more powerful than the blood of Jesus. There's no voodoo, no witchcraft, nothing greater and higher than the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you hear me? I said, do you hear me? So you don't need to, what people think is, people, listen to me, don't get ready, live ready. Get ready. No, there's no time to get ready. You live ready. So that when that thing comes, you cast that thing out. Now, I have seen this. I have gone, and I'm going to touch on demons, and then I'll go on. I've seen this with deliverance, and yes, with the deliverance ministry, people, again, they're not going to like me. I'm teaching truth. Deliverance ministry has been taken out of proportion. Finish and klaar. Out of proportion. If I want to see a perfect deliverance ministry, can I tell you a book that really helped me? Now, no jokes now. On deliverance, the greatest book that you can read on deliverance, the Bible. And you know who? Jesus. He taught on deliverance. He taught on deliverance. Let me quickly tell you what he did. When he came into an area where someone was demon-possessed because of the presence on him. Now, you better hear me. Satan acknowledges the power of God. I always say this, that demons recognize the authority, they recognize the anointing, but Christians is as blind as bats. Or Christians are too jealous to say, that man is anointed, or that woman is anointed. But demons knows who's anointed. Demons knows who's spending time with God. Come on, do you hear me? Satan knows exactly who's praying. Now, by the way, you can say, well, I believe in Jesus. Well, so does the demons. So does the demons. The Afrikaans say, in alle sidder. All right, so believing in Jesus, that's not enough. And I'm going to teach you this right now. Somebody listening to me. Now, so what people is doing, we get to people that needs deliverance and we feed the demonic. So in other words, you get a pill for every single thing. Oh, you're depressed, here's a pilliki. And here's a stress reliever. When we were in America just now, they showed on the television, say for instance for headaches, you've got headaches, then the advertisers, this is a pill that you can use. Oh, it's a brand new pill, it takes the headache away immediately, but, they say, but, it brings sickness to your kidneys. It gives heart failure, blah, 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 whole list. So now what I have to do is when I buy that for the headache, I have to buy another pill for the heart. Oh. And then that pill says, hang on now you're going to have prostate problems and then you're going to have itching problems. And then you're going to have a whole basket. You're going to touch it. Pulliki. Pulliki. Amen? Somebody listening to me. So what we do is we feed the problem, but we don't understand behind the problem there's a demonic power. I was uitgehaald op a website, a big website with all the great men of God. When I saw myself on there, I thought to myself, wow, I was just promoted. But in any case, so these people, full of Satan themselves, said the following. They said, haha, look at this mad pastor, Wessel du Brein. He ascribes every sickness to the devil. So I do. Jesus did the same. When Jesus healed people, the first thing that he did, he casted out that demon spirit. That's what Jesus did. 90% of the ministry of Jesus. Many people say 70%. No, 90% of his ministry, he was healing the sick and casting out demons. That's what he was doing. Amen, come on. He was demonstrating heaven on earth. That's what Jesus was doing. He was not toying around. He was not pouring water in the spirit. He was not slapping them. He was casting them out. Come out. That's what he was doing. We have no right to play around with them. In actual fact, we have no right even to speak to them. I don't want to speak to them. I want to cast them out. I am not level to them. I'm beneath them. Come on. I'm the head. They are the tail. Is somebody in this house listening to me? Come on. Come on. Jesus did a perfect work. The front of the cross still works. The back of the cross still works. He's a healer. It doesn't matter what Google says. Listen, we had a professor that sent us a message that you are worshiping wrong. You're singing the wrong songs. Professor, I am not worshiping you. I don't care if you don't like the worship. We're worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We ascribe our worship to him. This is why they said to me the other day, you can get a doctor's degree. I said, I don't want one. I don't want one. What does my doctor's degree or my professor? It doesn't help me if I don't know the power of God. This world is in dire need of the power of God. Come on, if you believe it, jump to your feet and say, Lord, I need your power. I need your power. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 This is the work that you believe in him whom God has sent. That's the work. So how do I do the work of God? Now, this is what Jesus is saying. He made it very, very simple. Bible school students, close your ears. It's good to be in Bible school. Very good. It helps you. But you can have all the Bible school subjects done, all the certificates. If you have no power, no Holy Spirit, nothing. Is somebody in this house? Jesus said the following, and you shall receive power after you've read that book. You shall receive power after the 40 days of fasting. I'm going to say something on fasting that people's going to, I can prove it. Do you know how people doing fasting? People do a fast because I feel like fasting. John's disciples came to Jesus. They said, Lord, we are fasting. Your disciples is not fasting. Jesus said the following. He says, there will come a day where the bridegroom will be removed, and then they will also have to. Do you know when you fast? You don't fast to please the flesh. You fast when the presence leaves. When you no longer feel the bridegroom's presence, that's when you fast. Oh, it's quiet. I'm teaching you valuable keys. Do you know why? Because we think through doing many things that we please God. Jesus says there's no work on earth that you can do. He says, I've already done it. The key is to believe in me. Believe in the one whom God has sent. And what is, oh, I believe in God. Jesus said the demons also believe. Do you know the word believe? If I think about the word believe, it speaks about to trust him, to obey him. You can't say I believe in God if I don't obey him. Come on. If I don't rely on him, it's an uttermost dependency upon him. There's a confident. Or you are confident in, there's a confidence in him. This is why the Bible says, this is the confidence that we have, my God. Whatever we ask in his name, it shall be done unto us. They say, this is the what? The confidence. Say with me, this is the confidence. When you pray for the sick without confidence, you're going to see no results. When I pray for the sick, teachers always ask me the question, how do you know that that person is healed? I said, that's the confidence. Amen. Confidence comes through spending time with the miracle worker. Amen. Oh, come on, help me out. Maybe I'm going to stand behind the cross. Maybe you'll see me now. Is somebody listening to me? Boldness comes because you have spent the time in the presence of God. I'm here to tell young people, if you serve God with all of your heart and your friends leave you, kick them to the curb. You've lost nothing. Sometimes you have to be alone so that God can use you. David was anointed as king. Do you know what he did? He didn't change his whole appearance and say, well, now I'm in charge. No, he went back checking his father's sheep. Always a servant's heart. This is what we need. Come on, I'm getting somewhere. Tell your neighbor he's getting somewhere. So this is what Jesus said. There's no work that you can do, but believe in him whom God has sent. Come on, I want to read you another one. John chapter 14. Can we go to John chapter 14, verse 12? Can we get it on the screen? Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, just pause quickly. That me is speaking about a person who never changes. Now, I need to get this to your attention. The name of Jesus, if you study God's name, you'll never find his name is I was or I will be. His name is I am. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Jesus that walked on the shore, come on, next to Galilee, is the same Jesus today. The same Jesus who said more than 2,000 years ago that I'm willing to heal you is still willing to heal you today. The reason why people don't believe in healing is because they just think, well, 50% of the cross is good enough. We seek for substitutes. Can I give you a key? Just keep it on. Don't take it off the screen. A key to the power of God. The power of God lies in the simplicity of the gospel. The more complicated you make the gospel, the more you suppress the anointing. Please hear me. The anointing flows wherever. This is why the Bible says, feed the sheep. Doesn't say feed the giraffes. In other words, I have to preach so deep, but yet so simple to you. That when I bring your children here and they sit and listen to me, they have to understand what I'm saying. Amen? And it's not because you don't have great words. No, it's because of the anointing of God Almighty. That's what I depend upon. Oh, hallelujah. Can you feel it? There's a stirring in the spirit. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, in the me, is the only constant. He's the only one who never changes. My God. The works that I do, he will do also. Pause there. Have you noticed the Bible says, most assuredly I say to you, my apostles who believe in me will do the works that I do. No, it's not what the Bible says. Who qualifies for this? Everybody that believes without a shadow of a doubt, being fully persuaded with all the confidence in the world, knowing that you know in your knower, that he who has promised cannot lie. He's speaking about somebody who woke up one morning and started believing the word of God without any move. It doesn't matter what Google says or your friend says. You believe it with all of your heart. Then Jesus says, well, he who does this, they will do the works that I do. Amen. And it doesn't stop there. And greater works than these will you do because I go to my Father. What does this mean? Let me tell you quickly. When Jesus was on earth, he was limited. Do you hear me? He was limited. He was in flesh. He could have been at one place at one time. We knew when he goes to the Father, he's sending a comforter, a helper, who is unlimited. I always like to refer to the Holy Spirit as Jesus unlimited. While Jesus was limited on earth, the Holy Spirit is unlimited. Do you know what? Maybe you don't know this. In Japan today, there's maybe a revival. There's church going on. The Holy Spirit is there. In America, he's there. He's in South Africa. He's all over. God said he's all over. And by the way, Satan can't be everywhere at once. He's definitely not here, so. I've checked, he's not here. How are you so sure? Where I am, he's not there. He doesn't like me, I don't like him either. And I pray, when he gets you home, he's not there either. Box seker jou skoon maar as jy daar nie. Okay, let's go. And so, just go back one verse, please. It says, he will do greater works than these because I go to my Father, so I'll send you the power. Because this is what Jesus said. You'll receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The Holy Spirit that comes upon us is not just something that happened once. It should be something that should remain. Let's go on. And whatever you ask in my name, yes, I like that one. whatever. Jesus didn't say, well, here's a list of things that you can't ask me. He says, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. I will do it. Why? Because you have confidence in that name which is above every other name. He says, I will do that, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. By the way, when Jesus blesses his people, the Father is being glorified. Do you think about this? Jesus lives to glorify the Father. He came to earth to glorify the Father. This is why when he blesses his people, the Father is glorified. But what did Jesus say here? Jesus says, whatsoever you ask in my name, I'll do it for you. Now, I'm getting deep now. When Jesus walked on the face of the earth, wherever he walked, the Bible says, even the scripture even says, he spoke like they never heard any man speak. He spoke with boldness. He spoke with authority. Any man that's intimate with God, never intimidated by man. If you can kneel before God, you can stand before any man. This is why Jesus wasn't intimidated when they said to the Lord, now here's the key. What do you think Satan did to make Eve, let me just say this correctly, fall? What did Satan do to allow Eve to fall? Let me teach you. Satan worked with this thing, a mind. He tried to let it doubt what God has said. He did the same with Jesus. Jesus knew he's the Son of God. Satan said to him, if you are the Son of God. Now, here's the key. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to prove to you. Who ever went to a zoo and stood in front of a lion and said, Jason, you're not a lion. You're not a lion. You're a monkey. You're not a lion. Have you ever seen that lion says, no, I'm a lion. And walking to his wife and say, do I look fat? Did something change? This guy said, I'm not a lion. But you're a lion. Where's the proof? No. You understand? Monkey, you're a monkey. Ah! Ah! You never have to tell a lion he's a lion. I've never seen a lion. Here comes an elephant. The lion says, yes, take him in here. All right, sorry, submit. No, he's the king of the jungle. Am I speaking to the right crowd? Am I speaking to your spirit? Am I imparting some faith to you in this place? He's not intimidated. Even with a hyena. He slapped that thing around, bang, bang. Quickly. No problem. He's the king of the jungle. Amen? But I thank God that when Jesus came, he came as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Many people think that Jesus is coming back as a sheep. He's not coming back as a lamb. He's coming back as a roaring lion. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the balm of Gilead. He's the rose of Sharon. That's who he is. Come on, I'm getting somewhere right now in this place. You know, I feel excited about this. The Bible says the following, in the following scriptures, that when Jesus hung on the cross, now hear me please, saints of God, when Jesus hung on the cross, something happened. In actual fact, I'm going to read this to you. Let's get this on the screen, please. Let's get the, I want to read to you Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. Galatians, I have to read this. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. What did Jesus become when he hung on the tree? When he hung on the tree, he became a curse, the curse of the law. In other words, while the law speaks about sickness and works, Christ nailed it to the cross. In other words, when he hung on the cross, every curse, now I'm getting deep now, familiar spirits, DNA, demons that focuses on families. Who knows what I'm talking about? The doctor says your grandmother had cancer, your mother's got cancer, cancer's in the family. Who knows what I'm talking about? Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says when Jesus hung on the cross, he took that family curse on him. Now I need some people that will jump in this place and say, what? Am I not part of the curse? Absolutely not. You are no longer part of the curse. If vessel, So what do you say? Don't I believe that there's familiar attacks? Absolutely. But what I do believe is, I do believe that we have the authority and the power over all these things. And nothing, the Bible says, you will only see it with your eyes, but it will not come near thee. Come on, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 to your right hand, but nothing shall touch you. Come on, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. No tongue that rises up against you. It will be condemned. Why? Because he became a curse. I want you to say, my curse has been nailed to the cross. That's it. I don't care what the book says in Kum books. I read what my Bible says. My Bible is the highest authority. Don't look for the, stop looking for the offer of the month and start looking to the offer of all offers. Let's try that again. Stop going to Kum books and look for the offer of the month and start to seek the offer and the finisher of your faith. His name is Jesus Christ. Come on, jump to your feet and say, I'm blessed beyond the curse. I'm blessed beyond the curse. I want people to agree with me in this place. I'm blessed beyond the curse. Come on, beyond the curse. I have a new DNA. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Come on, shout hallelujah if you believe it. Give Jesus a great hand of praise. Yes. Glory, glory, glory. This is what the Bible says. He nailed the curse to that cross. So what people believe that Jesus can forgive me, but people like to carry the curses with them. I've heard people say that their hands are cursed and their cars are cursed. Bull twang. Whatever I touch is blessed. There's no dry season to Christians. Do you know what's dry? The only thing dry is our mentality. One thing that God can't do for you, God can't renew your mind. Paul says you have to renew your mind. If God wants to, he can, but God's not going to renew your mind. You have to renew your mind daily. So Jesus heals people. He touches them, but there's no mindset that shifts. And do you know what? That goes back to the, I wonder, should I still take the pills? In America, do you know what's the sad part? I have never seen miracles like that in my life. I'm actually joking about this, but the people are so lazy to walk. So what they do is they get a wheelchair. And then they push them around in a wheelchair. And when they get somewhere where wheelchairs can't pass, they get up. And then they walk quickly, get another wheelchair. I said, just call these miracles. I'm not even praying for people. Miracles everywhere. Small kids in a wheelchair, boom, pushes them around. I said to Aileen at first, I said, yeah, there's sick people here. We're in the right place. Bang, 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 no ways. They're getting up. My God. They've got a secret. They've got revelation in this place. And then I realized, no, they're just lazy. I've seen a woman in our service where she got out of a wheelchair and they say she pushed the wheelchair home, waving at the TV cameras. Then I had a woman getting out of a wheelchair, walking by the power of God. Her husband says to her, get back in. Get back in. And he made her. I was in a service where I called out blind people. And I saw in the corner of my eye a young girl sit next to her boyfriend. And I saw she wanted to come up and he pulled her back. And I had a quarrel in the service. And he told her, you're not going out. He's not praying for you. And I saw her, and she jumped, and she came out, and her eye popped open. She was born blind, and in the eye, and the Lord opened the eye. And he was so angry, he walked out. And I said, this is what people need to understand. I'm just going to quickly touch on that. Next week, I'll go on. But when it comes to healing, when God heals you, the first way to keep your healing, number one, testify. We have overcome through the blood of the Lamb and through the word of our testimony. You testify. Let the whole world hear that Jesus is still alive and he's still healing. Then secondly, get filled with the Spirit. What people don't know is that the Bible says that when people get deliverance, now deliverance shouldn't take weeks, it shouldn't take months, it should happen instantly. You expose people into the presence of God, demons get uncomfortable there, they go. So what happens now is, now you have to get filled. Because the Bible says, if you're not filled, the enemy will come with seven worse spirits and see if the house is swept and cleaned, he will come back and you will be worse off. This is why many people are worse off. Then they say the deliverance didn't work. No, you didn't do what the Word of God required of you to do. And then thirdly, you have to live a sinless life. Sin attracts demonic powers. Amen. Come on, amen. So, the scripture says, and we're nearly there. It's cheap, so we can, 4 hours still, let's go. The doors are locked, right? So the Bible is clear. I'm going to read you the next one that I need to do. Colossians chapter 2. And then I'm going to go in a little bit deeper. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. Now, by the way, I want to say this again because you have to hear something 21 times before it's a reality to you. The curse has been taken to the cross. You are not, jy het nie die DNA van jou ouers nie. But I don't care what the doctors and the intellectual people telling you. I'm telling what my word is saying. Listen, you will never have high blood pressure in your life. If you want it, yours. For those of you who says, there's no way. My grandmother had it, my mother, I'm not having it. Lift your hand with me. All right? If there's cancer in your family, I'm declaring to this to you in the name of Jesus that it stops right now. Come on. It will not come over to your family. It will not come over to your children. Your children, in fact, will not be a failure like all the past generations. They will be blessed behind the curse. Come on. And I tell you, the children's children shall be blessed and nothing shall be... They will see the hand of God over their lives in the name of Jesus Christ. Listen, you can say, well, your father died young and his father died young. You will live a long, satisfied life. When you die, when you are 140 years old, I declare this, Father, in Jesus' name, Satan will not steal any one of you before your time. You will grow up to be 140 years old. And let me quickly tell you, daar gaan nie poeiermelk wees nie. Jy sal al die tande in jou mond het. You will walk up straight. Come on, you'll be anointed. Come on, the power of God shall remain. No sickness shall befall thee. You are blessed beyond the curse. Blessed, blessed, blessed. Come on, shout blessed, blessed, blessed. I'm blessed beyond the curse. No sickness. Come on, I need people that will say, I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. I am no longer a post office of Satan. I am a temple of the Holy Ghost. Do you believe that? Why? Because the curse is not on me, it's on him. He became the curse that I was supposed to carry. Thank Jesus for what he has done. Because of Christ, me and my house, we are free. I have to buy this DVD myself, Dennis. Can you feel the Spirit of God in this house? Now, Colossians chapter 2 says the following. This happened when Jesus died for you on the cross. What happened, vessel? Having disarmed principalities in power. He made a public spectacle of them. Oh, I like that. Triumphing over them in it. So what does the Bible says? All right, I'm going to teach you something. Keep it on the screen, please. The Bible says, now, think of this. What does it mean when you're disarmed? When you go to war and you're disarmed, it means you go to war without a weapon. All right, no power. Say with me, no power. Come on, one more time, no power. Now, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 goes on to 14. It goes on, it says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, please hear me. It doesn't say we don't go to war. It says we don't wrestle. All right, this is not WWF. All right, we fight without weapons here now. Okay. Maybe you hear me. He says we wrestle. It's not WWF. And here he come Conan and this coming. No, the Bible says, I'm teaching you things now that you won't find in books, in Kum books. Because in Kum books, you will find Kum books. Love you guys. Not, but in any case, 17 steps two, and 5 steps two, and 3 steps two. Come on, and the 10 steps two, and a 6-minute workout plan. And the reason why the enemy indoctrinates people to speak about Jesus as the Christ, or as the Messiah only, is because Satan is afraid of the name of Jesus. And I'll get there now. But the Bible says, so when Jesus hung on the cross, something happened. Him alone took away all the ammunition, all the weapons of warfare. What am I? He disarmed them of every single weapon that he's using against you. This is why the Bible says the weapons of our warfare. Who knows the Bible speaking about the weapons of our warfare? Come on. Are not carnal, but mighty to pull out strongholds. So the scripture speaks about these weapons, but now here's another scripture that says he has disarmed the principalities and powers, and then suddenly it says, and he made a public. He didn't do it in private. Now, when you cast out demon spirits, you don't take people around the corner and do it in the private. You make a public spectacle. You make a public spectacle of that Satan. The reason why they take people around the corner is because they can't cast it out. Next week, boys and guys, you're going to see it's empty chairs. People are angry. I'm teaching you truth. The world needs the power of God, the true power of God. No more gimmicks. Come on, I want you to say, no more gimmicks. People can't manifest it. Now what they do is they get gimmicks. I get messages. Do you guys sell holy water in your church? No, but I can teach you about the Holy Spirit. What holy water? Ach, spoeg me op die lap en of wat ek om huis toe. Strange things. Because this is what TV exposes to people. Rubbish. Stop with the gimmicks. There's nothing. No water bucket. No oils. Nothing that can take the place of the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the highest name, the highest authority. Hallelujah. He made a spectacle of them publicly. Afrikaners, maklik te maak, hy het hulle verneder voor almal. And you're afraid of an enemy that has been made a spectacle of publicly. And then the scripture says, triumphing over them in it. So Jesus, one man, triumphant over all the demons, principalities and powers. Every demon force in hell, every fallen angel, he has triumphant over each one of them, including Satan. Now, please bear with me. I know it's Sunday and you want to go home and take a nap. Hear me. Jesus said to Peter, Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, Matthew 18, 18, behold, I give you the keys to the kingdom. What people need to understand, people say, oh, the Lord said to Peter, read your Bible, please. When Jesus said to Peter, he said, I'm going to call you the rock and on you I will build my church. And what's going to happen? The gates of hell will not prevail against it. So when Jesus said to Peter, I'm giving you the keys, Jesus wasn't just saying this to Peter. He said this to the church. He said, I give you the authority. Whatever you rebuke on this earth is already rebuked in heaven. Whatever you seem or you deem as blessed, I'll bless in heaven. It goes on, it says, whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. That means Jesus gave us the power of attorney. Say with me, power of attorney. Say this one more time. Do you imagine just quickly, I'm just messing with your mind a little bit. Think about this. Elijah in the Old Testament, the scripture says that he opened up the Jordan without consulting the Father. Please, see it, when Elijah approached the Jordan, what did he do? He took his mantle, bang, and the waters parted. He walked. The Bible doesn't say he went on to a 40-day fast. No, he already understood the power of attorney. If Elijah understood the power of attorney in the Old Testament, how much more should the church, whom Jesus Christ has placed in a dimension of such power, how much more should we understand the power of attorney? This is why you don't have to go and fast and then come back and drive that thing out. No, you live ready and you cast that thing out. When Satan sees you, he must tremble and run. I can see the devil with Christians. If Christians try to, most Christians, when they try to cast out demons, I can see Satan laugh. Oh, yeah, this is a mockery kennedy. Here he is, snacks. What does Satan see when he sees you? What does he see? Does he see authority? Because that's what boldness brings. It brings authority. Sometimes boldness seems to be hard, but it gets you results. Is somebody listening to me? Say hallelujah if you do. Now, I'm almost there. Now the scripture goes on. So Jesus said the following. He said, you have to believe in him whom God has sent. You have to have confidence in him. You have to rely on him. You have to know that he's your source. You have to spend time with him. It's not just something that I believe in him. You have to spend intimate time with him. You have to know his word. Come on, you have to live a spirit-filled life. And I'm going to throw this in at people. Don't go and like, if you want to be used of God, you have to live pure and holy. Not, if you're not, there's no power. There's no power. The presence of God is attracted through holy vessels. Somebody listening to me. This is why in a church I can make jokes and we can laugh and then suddenly the presence of God appears. That's relationship. Is somebody listening to me? Jesus said that's the requirement. If you want to do my works, that's the key. Now he goes on. Secondly, he says that you have to understand that every curse has been nailed to that cross. You are above the curse. You're not beneath the curse. You are no longer part of the curse. In actual fact, I need to prophesy this to somebody. That even in famine, you will suffer nothing. Even in famine, he will take care of you. Come on, you are blessed with the blessings of God. Is somebody in this house excited about that? So you are blessed beyond the curse. I want you to say this again. I'm blessed beyond the curse. So what did Jesus do when he hung on the cross? He took away all their authority. He stripped them of all their authority, of all their power, made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. Now Jesus says, the same work that I do, you will do also, and even greater works. It was Jesus that said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. That same Jesus said, I give you the power to trample on scorpions and on serpents, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He didn't say, well, after you read the book, get another book. You know, the books today is like the pills in America. When you read one book, you need another one just to get you out of this one. Ja, dis die mense is kwaad vir my. Ek geef almal vir niet sop, sop almal. I'm teaching you truth. I have seen people, listen, I was in a church now where the pastor came to me. I was standing in the church and I heard the Lord give me word of knowledge. So I'm calling sickness out, deafness and whatever. So people, there's a guy, long story short, so a guy came out very afraid. He wanted me to pray for him. He's born deaf. I think he was, 50 years old? He was born deaf in his ear. And he wants to get healed, but he's very afraid. I thought to myself, is this the first guy I see? Well, it's not actually the first one being deaf, being afraid, but people being afraid of getting healed. I don't know that. I don't know why. If Jesus can heal you, I'm first. So I prayed for this man, and bang, his ear pops open, and he couldn't believe it. He turns to the people, and he says, I can hear, I can hear, I can hear. And they tested him, and I can hear, I can hear. And the pastor came up, he says, let me just quickly explain to you. There was another pastor, and this pastor says that God uses his spit. So he spat in his ear, and he says the drool, he said and this guy's looking at, and the pastor's looking at, and everything is dripping from his ear. And he says, and the guy says, can you hear? And he looks worried. Can you hear? And they thought maybe if the spit is out, maybe he can hear. And still he couldn't hear. And now he was very afraid. He said, he was afraid, I'm going to gop him too. So when I saw him, I said, all the deaf people. Yeah, I can see some of the people, shoo. But God, get that image out of your head quickly. But God healed him, touched him instantly. Now, Jesus said the following. He said, I can't do nothing unless I see my Father do it first. There's instances where the Lord will tell you to do something. Like, let me give you an example. One day I was standing in front of a deaf woman. And I heard the Spirit of God say to me, put your finger in her ear. Stick it in. I heard it. I never done that before. I didn't want to do it that day. Stick it in her ear. So I was trying to suppress it and, oh, bless the Lord. And I'm praying for her. Can you hear? Nothing. Trek your finger in her ear. Bless the Lord on my soul. Can you hear? Nothing. I said, okay. Now my finger's in her ear. I promise you in her ear. And her eyes are open like this. Ek het 'n knoppie gedruk, laat jy dit vertel. Wat? And now my finger's in her ear. And it stuck. But I pulled it out. And bang, her ear popped open. And I said, Lord, never again. On that, On that subject, I was praying for a young man. I've seen the power of God touch that boy. And he had a leather jacket on, a black leather jacket, but he was crying severely. He was not, he was crying deep. But with that comes tears and snot. I see the new people are going to think, yeah, this church is crazy. But I promise you now, it's hanging from his nose like this. God's my witness, like this. And it's hanging. And nobody wants to give him a tissue because they don't want to break the flow of the Spirit. So all the ushers is checking this. And as he does this, I'm timing that thing as God is my word. I'm timing that thing. That thing must break off any minute. It's not breaking off. It's not breaking off. Now I have to lay my hands on him. So I'm timing this thing now. If it goes, I want to go in, you know. So I have to time this thing now. I promise you, God's my witness. I timed that thing. I put my hand out. I put my hand out. Boop. It fell on my hand. The whole thing broke off on my hand. And now he's crying. And I'm. And you know, I promise you, he had a leather jacket. So I did this. Oh, Lord, bless him. But the more I wipe it on his jacket, the more it smears. So why do you say this? You just do what God tells you to do. You know, there's a saying that says, keep it simple, stupid. The power lies in the simplicity. Now, can I quickly go on? It says, having this arm, principalities and powers. You know, Paul says, whether it was in the flesh or in the spirit, but such a man has been caught up to the third heavens. Now, the Bible says we wrestle. Come on, it's not a war. We war or wrestle, not against flesh and blood. So it's actually a fight. You better hear me now. Without weapons. Because the weapons has been removed. That's an easy fight. I said, that's an easy fight. Why? Because when I fight now, I fight with a weapon. Amen. I'm going to tell you now where I get that. All right? So we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in heavenly places. So when I pray, in the second heaven, there's a war going on. Satan and fallen angels are fighting your prayer life. So when you pray, they fight. Come on, so that your prayers should be hindered. I know this is a long teaching, but we'll continue next week. So Satan tries to hinder, come on, tries to hinder it. But now the Bible says the following. He says that Jesus humbled himself even to a place of death, through which then he received a name. Now, that changes everything. He received a name which is above every other name. The Bible says now, hear me, that name is greater than any other name in heaven, on earth or underneath earth. Why underneath earth? Well, the demonic powers, everything that's still in the pit, I have to explain that in a longer time when I have more time. Anything in heaven, in the second heaven, he's got a name which is above every other name. And the Bible goes on, so that in the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, please hear me quickly. Many people think that in the end of day, that's what the Bible is speaking about, that every knee will bow. That's good because every knee will bow. But that's not what the Bible teaches here. The Bible teaches now that in that name of Jesus, that name which is a covenant name, please hear me, the name of Jesus is a weapon stronger than any weapon of mass destruction. That name of Jesus Christ is a name the most fear in this world. They try to mock that name, but I promise you the day is at hand where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So when you pray in the name of Jesus, do you know what happens? The first thing that happens when you pray in the name of Jesus is knees are bowing. Of principalities and powers and sicknesses, every sickness, let me tell you, most sicknesses like cancer and those things has got a demonic influence behind it. So do you know what happens with that demon when you say in the name of Jesus? First of all, it bows. This is why I don't need a gimmick. I need faith in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, do you know what the Bible calls him? The Bible calls him, he is the balm of Gilead. Gilead is a place. He's the rose of Sharon. That's a place. Come on, he's the lily of the valley. Come on. Is someone listening to me right now? The Bible says his name is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Do you know what? When God begins it, no devil can finish it. Oh, he's the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end. When Satan says it's your end, Christ says I'm only beginning. The devil can't tell you it's your end because the end does not lay in his hands. Let's try that again. Jesus says, I am the beginning and I am the end. It's not your end. Satan can't tell you when it's over. It's not over until God says it's over. Why? Because he's the Alpha. Satan's with me, he's the Alpha. And he's the Omega. You know, Jesus Christ is the beginning and the end, but in him, he has got no beginning and he has got no end. Hey! He doesn't sit in eternity. Eternity sits in him. Come on, he's the firstborn of all creation, giving nothingness formation. For by him, all things were created, that is. Listen to why the Bible says that God has given him a name which is above every other name. Listen, there's a name greater than cancer. There's a name greater than sin. There's a name greater than any familiar spirit. That name is Jesus Christ. Just the mention of that. I don't have to shout that name. If I have belief in that name of Jesus, I whisper that name. At the whisper of that name, mountains melt like wax in his presence. At the whisper of that name, this is why the Bible is also saying that there's no other name given through which a man should be saved. His name is a saving name. It's a healing name. It's a powerful name. The Bible also says this, and I'm finished now for today. Then we're going to pray. Is that fine? Whom the Son of Man sets free is free indeed. The Bible doesn't say when Jesus sets you free, you have to get help and see a psychologist and a cop doctor. And the Bible says if the Son of Man sets you free, you're free indeed. Because he doesn't do half a job. Our thing should be, Lord, teach me how to renew my mind. After you set me free, teach me, Lord, to renew my mind. That I don't think the same way I thought before. That I don't walk the same way I walked before. That I don't speak the way I spoke before. Change me inside out. Now I believe this in the next minute or two. There's going to be a release of the Spirit of God's Spirit. Can I ask our band to quickly come here on the stage? I feel a supernatural anointing. Now, hear me quickly. I can't go on. Yes, let's take that away. Hear me quickly. When there's simplicity, the power of God flows. I believe the whole first row better get ready for the power of God. Do you hear me? Let's try that again. The whole first row, you better get ready for the power of God. This will always encourage people. Don't sit right back in the back. Get here to the front. There's a river. A river flowing of God's Spirit. I promise you, you're there in the back and you say, I want to feel a bit. Come, sit here. Just sit here. You don't have to do much. Just feel the presence of the Lord. But there's a name which is above every other name. Every principality and power has been disarmed. Listen, every devil that's on assignment to destroy you has been disarmed. Okay, where's the excited people now? Don't get tired on me now. Every demon on assignment against your life has been disarmed. Hallelujah. So you go to a war with weapons, but you fight those without weapons. What's my weapon? The name of Jesus. It's a powerful name. Come on, the Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and they are saved. The name of Jesus is a saving name. It's a covenant name. When I say Jesus, the Holy Spirit shows up. When I say Jesus, miracles happen. Come on, when I say Jesus, there's things in the spirit realm that's just shaking up. So would you do me a favor? Would you stand to your feet quickly? I want you to close your eyes and lift your hands. Father, we glorify you. As the disciples said, what should we do to do the works of God? Simple, believe in him. God has sent, rely on him, count on him, be confident in him, spend time with him, know his word, know his spirit, surrender your life, believe in him with all of your might, with all of your heart, and you say further on in your word that we will do the works that you've done, and even greater works, because you go unto the Father. My prayer right now is, Lord, that you'll manifest your presence to your people. Like I already feel it, I pray that you will touch every heart and every life in this place right now. That this will be a month of the supernatural. This will be a month where people will be ignited for the supernatural. This will be a month where things that you fight, you fought. Now, as every eye is closed, hear me quickly. You have been fighting fights that has already been won for you. You've been fighting demons that are already under your feet. You are fighting a defeated enemy. From this day, let me tell you, there's good news. There's a light that went on. That the Lord said, stop doing the fighting. I already fought it for you. I already won it. I already triumphant over them. I made a public spectacle of them. The only thing I need you to do is rest in my work. Believe in me. And I'll use you beyond your years. So as those hands are lifted, Spirit of God, we welcome you. This will not just be a church, but a movement of God. A movement of the supernatural. A movement where the super is natural. A movement of people infused with the fire of God. This morning we pray, deposit the kerosene of thy spirit and let us burn for you again. I pray the whole front row, Father, let a fresh fire touch them right now in the name of Jesus.